With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
3, 2, 1.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is Commissioner Cooper, and it's time for TSS Fantasy.
Boom. That's what it is.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Commissioner Cooper, and it's time for TSS Fantasy.
Yeah!
The only yeah I got tonight. It's only Nick in the building, but Batman and Robin got you tonight. We're in Jacksonville. We get to stay home tonight on the summer vacation, Nick. Finally, home in the sunny state of Florida in Jacksonville. I mean, you know, you got to tell me, we'll have our guest on later. They can tell me what there's to do in Jacksonville, but at least we're here to talk about.
Oh, I know what there is to do in Jacksonville.
Oh, boy. All right.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, we'll move that right along. And let's welcome into the studio, Nick, you got Flandern Macaronis.
Yes, thank you again. Oh, I'm always being a fixture here. Thank you for having me, as always. I have no intro planned whatsoever, but you can find me at Nick at Penn Flanders on Twitter. And of course, I know I'm going to screw up Jason up, but I'm going to do it anyway. Please go to tssfantasy.com, check out our merchandise and all of our wonderful quips and quibbles we have on there. And don't forget to check out our rankings, because you know what? They're always right.
Yeah. No, I definitely would not say that at all. Well, we get some things right. I mean, that's just the way it is. Nick, it's okay if you don't have an intro. I got a whole thing written right here. I'm just going to read it for you so that way I don't screw it up. Don't forget, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Don't forget, we have a Justin Jefferson giveaway all sealed up, ready to go, ready to ship July 4th. All you got to do, hit the subscribe button. You're automatically entered to win. Easy as pie. Also, as Nick mentioned, don't forget to go to tssfantasy.com. We have the roundtable, so you want to check that out. All exclusive content from our man, Greg OJ, the Juice is Loose Mayor. We also have, we will have some shows and interviews on there as well. We just got to get them in there, so my bet on that. Also, don't forget, we do the show on your fantasy league. If you want to take your league to the next level, you'll want to check that out as well. Again, all in good fun. It brings in everybody in. It's a lot of good fun. Just make sure you go check that out. Also, we're getting close, guys. It's getting close to that time. Get on Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code TSS. We will double your deposit up to $100. We're going to have lots of cool contests on there, not including the money, but we're going to have tickets to Gatorland. We're going to have some Miami Dolphin tickets to give away. We got it all for you. Nick, why do we do that?
Well, for two reasons. One, because we can, but most importantly, because we're the fantasy show of the people.
That's right. The fantasy show of the people, indeed. It's time for Jacksonville. Dr. Miller came with us. We got a house call.
Look, I'm a doctor, not an escalator. Spock, give me a hand.
Yeah.
The doctor is in. Both of us are at home, actually, here in the state of Florida. We are going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Might not be a whole lot to do in Jacksonville, but we are here to talk about the team nonetheless. Dr. Miller, welcome to the studio.
Hey, it's great to be here. And unfortunately, we're still going to be talking about Urban Meyer on this segment today. can't get away from him in Jacksonville.
Still can't escape the shadow of Urban. All right, we got a lot to talk about in this particular. So I want to go on and on. We got two big fantasy names, very relevant names in the running back position for the Jaguars, both coming off injury. Let's go to James Robinson first with the torn Achilles. When do you see him returning this season? Does he come back to the start? And what his percent to the bench is for this upcoming season?
He's put on the IR in December, season-ending Achilles surgery, which means at the beginning of training camp, he's just going to be approaching 7 months out. And it's not impossible to return after 7 months. And in fact, he resumed running early in June. And there's a video of him running. And I want to say that I watched it earlier today, and he does look good. From the video alone, you cannot tell which is his surgically repaired Achilles. Now, this is in one view, and it's without any would-be tacklers. He's not changing direction, so it leaves a whole lot, right? Like, we see him running nicely when it's just him, and he's not cutting. Florida Times Union John Reed wrote that James Robinson is not likely to be ready for next month's training camp, but I want to take that a step further and say he's not likely going to be ready to start the season. While it's possible, I would not be surprised if he began the season on the injured reserve. So, much like Michael Gallup from Dallas, I expect him to start the season on the bench. We're going to go 85% to the bench for James Robinson.
Well, Mrs. Robinson's neighborhood, I mean, that's not a good sign for, you know, James Robinson owners, especially in Dynasty. I mean, that guy does come to play. He's also a very disrespected player, always does well. Let's go to the rookie from last year, and I always screw up his last name, so we'll just say Travis E. Talk to me about Travis E. What do you think about? I think last year, I believe he tore his Liz Frank ligament. I think that's what it was, but talk about his injury, his recovery, his percent to the bench this season.
Yeah, so Travis Etienne is the last name. Etienne missed all last season with a Liz Frank fracture. So there's some Liz Frank ligament in that region, but it was an actual fracture there to the Liz Frank region of the foot, which we talked last season about how it's like the peak of the arch of the bridge. You compare your foot to a bridge, and it's really tough to transfer force from one side to the other if the middle of the bridge is collapsed. So it enabled him to sit out of this failed Urban Meyer experiment, right? He missed all of his rookie season. This is his de facto rookie season. So I think it was a blessing in disguise, right? He wasn't there to get kicked by the coach. And, you know, he agrees with this. He said, if there was any year to miss, I missed a great one. So, like, I've never heard a better perspective on an injury. I also was a little defeated when I was reading some of his quotes. They put a screw in there to repair the fracture. And he said, quote, "The screw is there. I think I will take it out. I could leave it there forever. I know most guys say leave it there. It never bothers me. But I just don't want to be 40 years old with a screw in my foot, really." When I heard him say this, it sounded like 40 was the end of his life. And I'm knocking on the door of 40 in a couple of days here. My God, come on, man. So anyway, Jacksonville reports that he's legitimately looking like his old self from an explosiveness standpoint. And I feel good. He's going to start the season at 100%. So Travis Etienne, 50% to the bench, which is under the average for all NFL running backs.
Indeed.
He does end up on the – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
If he does end up on the bench, I don't think this injury is connected to it. I think this is 100% he's ready to go.
Indeed. Well, got to get him with the Robinson injury, so make sure if you're getting that Jacksonville backfield to draft Mr. Travis. All right, Doc, appreciate closing out the AFC South, and we'll see you next week.
See you next time.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Mr. Etienne finally going to get that out. Look, big thanks for him to start the season if we got Robinson on the bench. So you're definitely going to want to watch out for that. I think there's going to be emphasis this year on Trevor Lawrence going to the back a little bit more. He had a little bit of a misconnection with that last year. So I think we'll see that a little bit more. Now, let's get on. We got some guests waiting for us. Let's bring them in. And I got this cool little thing I made for the Jags. I found this song on YouTube. I'm not really sure. I think it was from back in the day, but who cares? It's still kind of cool. Let's play it and bring our guest in.
Hey, you, what you gonna do? Hey, you, what you gonna do? 49ers, what you gonna do? Ravens, tell me what you gonna do? Jets, what you gonna do? Steelers, what you gonna do? Cowboys, what you gonna do? When the Jags come with you? Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you. Yo, them bigger Jags, here they come. You better run, Forrest, run. Because they're coming to your town. Big Thurston about to bring you all down.
I'm waiting for the here, kitty, kitty, kitty. It's kind of what I feel like it's coming next. Welcome our guest in the studio. This is going to be a fun night tonight. We're talking Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll go around the room here. Welcome to the studio. First, excuse me, I got on list here, John Shipley, B reporter for the Jaguar Report. Welcome into the studio.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
We are glad to have you. We're glad to talk about our friends from the north side of Florida, but from the south side of Florida, still repping the Jags. Let's welcome Lori Fitzpatrick to the studio. I try to look out where you're from, but you had a lot of stuff on your YouTube. So if you wouldn't mind, let us know where you're from.
Yeah. So, who I write for,
right. I didn't know if you had a podcast or what was up. I saw you had a podcast in there and
I write for USA Today for the Touchdown Wire. And then also, we record, the Believe in Jaguars. So it's a Jaguars podcast, with them too.
Nice. Yeah. So I saw a couple things in there. I want to make sure I plug.
Yeah. I'm all over the place. You know,
That's the way to do it. Indeed. Let's also welcome to the studio, Danica from First and Teal. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are happy to have you all. It's Jacksonville Jaguar time. Let's talk about the 2022 outlook. Basically, last year, as you guys know, 3-14, bottom of the barrel, unfortunately, in the NFL. Total offense was ranked 27th. You were 22nd in the pass, 22nd in the rush, but 32 dead last in scoring last year. Defensively against the rush, 24th against the rush, 17th against the pass, 28th against points against. So that meant defense 28th overall. So kind of a struggle on both sides of the football. Obviously, when you're a 3-14 team, that would come to be expected. Big additions in the offseason with Christian Kirk. A lot of things made about the contract. I'm sure you guys as fans have heard a lot about that. You know, hey, if you want to make some moves, you got to pay some money. Christian Kirk could be that guy for you guys. Zay Jones also came in, and I do like the addition of Evan Ingram as well, a nice athletic tight end for you. I think he could pay off dividends as well. Darius Williams in the offseason at cornerback also. We did lose DJ Shark, which is just a sad. We just like saying his name, so it's kind of sad that he's gone. And some guards as well. And the draft, you went defensive heavy. Obviously, Trayvon Walker in the first pick and Devin Lloyd as well. So adding some rookie depth in the defense as well. So we'll kick it around to you guys first. John, we'll go to you first. Give me the outlook this year for the 2022 Jaguars. Where do you see them finishing at this year?
Yeah, no, when I did a story, you know, going week by week, a win-loss schedule, I will say, for those who think I was too negative, I predicted 6-10 last year, and I ended up being far off. So hopefully I'm slightly more accurate this year. I saw, you know, just going through the schedule, I see them as a 6-11. 7-10 type win team this season that I think is better than their final record. I think there's going to be a lot of games that they're competitive in, you know, one because of the sheer upgrade in coaching and leadership, and one because of the upgrades of the roster. You know, I think I put on Twitter after one of the first OTA practices that they were guys with the second and third teams that I've seen like locked in as starters with the first team and other practices in seasons I've covered with this team. So I think they're on the upswing. I wouldn't think that anybody would think, okay, this is the year they're going to win, you know, 11 or 12 games. But I do think this is the year you see them kind of take that much needed step back toward respectability.
Oh, and you know what? I didn't even mention the coaching because I know once we get it, if it gets it all the way around to Nick, he's going to spend the whole time on Urban Meyer. So that's why I didn't even mention it. But yes, you are correct.
That's liar. Urban liar. Liar.
It's already started. So let's get to Lori real quick before we have to hear any more from Nick. Give me your outlook for the Jags this season.
I mean, it's pretty similar to John. Not going to lie. I see them just kind of going double in the amount of wins. Probably 6-11, maybe 7-10, something like that. It's gonna take a little bit for the whole new team to kind of be a little bit cohesive. You got a new head coach, like you just mentioned, but I think they'll be a lot better, especially you know on the defensive side of the ball. You know, like you guys said, they brought in some you know obviously the guys in the draft. Then you got Foyer, who was the number one in tackles last season. I think that's gonna be good. You know, I think we all kind of wish they brought in another wide receiver. I think it's going to maybe hurt them by the end of the season. But maybe they can bring somebody in during the season. That would be pretty cool. But, yeah, I would say about 6 or 7 wins. You know, it's tough to say that they're going to be any better after, you know, I was similar to John. Maybe I thought they would be a little bit better last year, but that didn't happen. So I'm not going to get too ahead of myself. I'm going to say 6.
Sounds about a safe bet. Danica, what do you say?
Well, and it's after Urban era. I think realistically, I think we're around 5-12. You know, the fanatic or the fan of me that wishing for the best would think 8-9 would be nice. But I really think they're going to end up 5-12. And what I want to see is kind of a little bit what that end game with the Colts last year, like a team that's getting better. If they get better as the season goes on, I think that's a better outlook for the future. But I just think right now they got to kind of clean up that losing mentality, get out that bag. So it's going to take more than one season to get rid of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a rebuilding project, no doubt about it. All right, Nick, it's Urban Meyer time, I'm sure. Go right ahead. What's your outlook for this year?
Oh, Urban Meyer. I'm gonna be positive. I'm gonna say 7-10 this year. I think you're gonna have
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're going to split some games with your division. I'm going to say you're going to split them with the Texans, and you might steal one from the Colts. And then the rest is going to be a pick'em game. And of course you got that game over there across the pond, which you always seem to find yourselves and usually win that game. I think you got a winning record over there, but I think you're going to have a 7-10 record this year.
Yeah, wow. And listen, just so our guests are aware, Nick has pretty much trashed every AFC South team so far. So it's actually nice to hear him on an upswing.
I only trashed 2 of them, and there's only 4.
So, yeah, I'm with you guys kind of in the same aspect. 6 wins is where I got them at. It's, you know, again, like you mentioned, it's a rebuilding project. You do have Doug Peterson, though, can mold Trevor Lawrence into something, maybe mold that offense into something cool. You got Chenault. You have playmakers on this offense. So, you know, I think some big things could be coming for them. It's just a little bit slow and go, as they say. All right, we're going to go around the room. Let's go the opposite way. Danica, let's start with you. Give me a game on the Jaguars schedule that you're really pumping excited for.
I'm always excited for the Colts game. I mean, we have their number when they come to town, and it always seems the most fun. The atmosphere is always great, and it just seemed like we just give them the business. So I'm looking for that Colts game.
Giving them the business, I like it. All right, what do you think, Lori? What's your best game on the schedule?
It's tough, right? Because Tennessee, everybody always wants to see that game, but I'm actually going to go to the first week of the season, and they're going to face off against Carson Wentz again. You know, they ended the season with Carson, and now they're going to start the season with Carson. And I think it's going to be a good indication of what the team's going to look like going forward. So I think Carson's going to want his revenge. And Doug Peterson, obviously, he always does well against Washington. So I think that's going to be a really exciting game. That's the one I'm starring on the schedule.
Well, you're in Nick's wheelhouse tonight. We got Carson Wentz talk. We got, Urban Meyer. I love it. All right, John, give me a game on the schedule that you're really looking forward to.
I'm going to go week four against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I'm a sucker for revenge games. And I think, you know, just the entire storyline of Doug Peterson returning to Philadelphia as an opponent for the first time. You know, Peterson's obviously still super familiar with a lot of the players on the Eagles roster. You know, he was the first head coach Jalen Hurts had. And I think just, you know, kind of seeing those two sides battle out, seeing where the Eagles have come since Peterson. And, you know, hey, if Peterson can sneak a win in Philadelphia in week four, I'm sure the Philadelphia fans would take that very level-headedly and rationally.
Man, you have no idea how you're setting this guy up. Now you're talking about Nick's favorite team. I love it. All right, Nick, you tell me, give me a game on the schedule you really like.
Well, first, they're going to remove Doug Peterson's portion of that statue. They're going to remove it and then put it in the Schuylkill River where it belongs. And then I think the game that y'all should be looking at is going to be the game against Denver in England. You always do well over there. Go over there, have a party, come back with a win. Well, what are you going to do, right? So that's the game. If I were you, I'd be circling.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the overall schedule, I always look at the end of the schedule. I'm like, all right, what are the games that could, you know, it could be crucial down the stretch? How about this one right before Christmas, December 22nd, a winnable game for you, going to the New York Jets. I mean, that's a winnable game for you guys, the Jets, and a big one might be, again, it could be, I hate to say, playoff implications, but if it's down the stretch, you just never know, guys. You just never know. Might be making that run this year. We'll see. All right, so we're all kind of in the same ballpark on the Jags. Everyone kind of agrees. No hurt feelings. Like hearing that. Nick isn't irritating any of our guests tonight. What we're going to do now is going
to
take
you a told quick, me not to.
I know. No, I appreciate it.
I don't know if I agree with the Doug Peterson take, but I mean everything else.
She didn't like that.
They already had to melt down the Nick Foles statue to pay his contract.
Yeah, I mean, they love Peterson.
Well,
they're gonna cheer him to death when he comes back. I don't know. Now, if the Jags win, then, yeah, they might tear off the statue and throw it in the Schuylkill, but I don't think that's going to happen. They love Peterson. They didn't even want him to leave.
Lori, Nick is known as the grumpy old man on our show, so that's why you're getting that perspective right there. That's the grumpy old man. Get off my lawn stuff.
I'm just a realist. That's all there is to it.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to do Family Feud or Fantasy Feud. My bad. No copyrights there. Fantasy Feud Jaguar Edition. And guess what? Tonight, the winner gets tickets to Gatorland. You guys are here in Florida. It's even cooler. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hayden, we love fantasy football.
We do?
It's a fantastic game, yet still not perfect. Like, I hate leaving high scoring players on my bench.
The worst, man.
In fact, hate it even more when I put injured players and they're in my starting lineup.
Can't have that.
And I need a life. The waivers, the trades, every single week, it grinds on me. So we at Underdog Fantasy want to make fantasy football easier for everyone out there. It's called Best Ball, and we set your optimal lineup for you each and every week. You can do it all year long. We have drafts going all the way from February to week one of the NFL season. what are you waiting for? Use our awesome early sign up offer to get a little extra something on that first deposit and that first time you play on Underdog Fantasy.
See you put them up, reach the skies, touch the stars up above, cause it's one time for the underdog, one time for the underdog.
Come on, get on Underdog, promo code TSS, man. Just come on and do it. All right, guys, everybody's doing it, man. All right, check this out. Now, I don't have any fancy buzzers or anything, guys, so unfortunately, we're just going to have to go off you yelling the answer out. So basically, what we're going to do is, I'm sure you all seen Family Feud before, same set of rules. We got three of you, though, so it's going to be a triple threat match tonight. But when I ask the question, basically, you will yell out your answer. Whoever gets that answer in first, if it's correct, you'll get control of the round. You'll have basically the three strikes to clear out the five answers. If you do not, then the other people get a chance to steal from you. All right. Pretty much basic. Everyone got it? All right. Well, for some Gatorland tickets tonight,
I ain't down with it.
I promise it'll be lots of fun. You're going to be laughing by the end of it. All right, guys. Well, again, Gatorland tickets on the line tonight for the first time. It's time to play the feud.
Brad?
Justin Jefferson.
It's going to be a long game.
All right, might not be so long tonight because we got some Jaguar experts in the building. And quite frankly, when I was looking these up, I was like, all right, I kind of remember some of these guys. So it might be a little easy tonight.
They were good at one point.
They were, absolutely. They definitely had some heyday, at least, for sure. All right, top five answers on the board. Here's the first question. Give me, in Jaguars history, top five passing yard leaders.
Mark Brunell.
All right, John, you get control of the round now. Go ahead, see what else you got.
Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles is number two on this list, 17,646. Brunell, number one, 25,698. Who else you got?
David Garrard.
All right, that's number three. It's 16,000. All right, you got four and five left.
Luckily, they've only had like four quarterbacks who have started multiple seasons. So Byron Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich. This was pretty much a layup if you got the first one. Byron Leftwich, number four, 9,042. Can you get number five, though? That's what's going to be the interesting one.
I truly don't know. I'm hoping it's Blaine Gabbert. I think that'd be hilarious.
Blaine Gabbert.
It's good for them that he wasn't the answer.
you got two strikes remaining, sir.
Rob Johnson?
Rob Johnson.
Wow.
One. Guy is still there. Number five is staring at me.
Chad Henne.
Pulled it out at the end.
That is terrible, Henne, for the Jaguars.
5,817, number five on this list. Wow, that was a big one, sir. Good job to you there. All right. Let's go on to question number two. Top five answers on the board. Everybody's warmed up now. Here we go. Here's the question. Give me top rushing leaders all time.
Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor. Great job, Lori. Fred Taylor, number one on this list, 11,271. Who else you got?
MJD.
MJD, who, by the way, didn't even answer my invitation for the show.
I had one, but never showed up.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith was giving Nick the thumbs up. Like, yeah, I can't wait to see if that happens. All right, number two, MJD, 8,071 yards. You got 3, 4, and 5 remaining.
Leonard Fournette.
Lenny Fournette. He's number four on this list, 2,631. You got 3 and 5 remaining.
Stewart.
Yes, good job, James Stewart. He's number three, 2,951. You got no strikes and one remaining.
The last one is what I don't know. Rushing. It's not TJ Yeldon.
TJ Yeldon. No.
I feel like I am missing Means. No, it can't be Means.
Natron Means. One strike left.
Damn, top right. I don't know. I don't know who else is left. Dang.
This one was tricky, I will say.
It can't be James Robinson, right?
James Robinson.
Stop it. Get some help.
I love that.
Danica, I'm going to go to you first since John's already up one. I'm going to go to you first to get a chance to steal it. You have a guess who number five is.
Oh, my God. I have none.
No guess at all. John, I'm going to go to you. Can you steal it?
Is it Greg Jones?
Greg Jones. You're not going to believe who number five is. It is none other than the other guy earlier, Mark Brunell, 2,219 yards. He's number five all time.
Wow.
You don't know, now you know.
Now you know.
All right, let's go. Now, this is a fun one for everyone. I love doing this question, so I hope you guys are ready. This is really going to test your fandom right here. Top five answers on the board. Now, John and Lori both got one, so Danica, we got to get you in this ball game here. You got to get ready. Top five answers on the board. Give me the teams, top five teams, that you have the best winning percentage against.
Oh, gosh. Colts?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Steelers?
No.
Not the Steelers?
No. No, you lost control, so now it goes to somebody else.
All good. No worries. But yeah, no on that one. All right. So Lori and John, you got to guess.
Raiders.
The Raiders.
I think someone did some studying before the show.
Nah, I've just seen them win two games against them in my lifetime. So I figure that's better than most other.
Indeed. So the Raiders, they're number four on this list. You're a 5-4 all time against the Raiders. All right. Who else do you got, John?
Giants.
The New York Giants. They are number two on this list. You are 4-3 against them. 571 average. Who else you got?
Oh, man. This is a tough one. Dolphins?
The America's team, the Miami Dolphins? Don't come on here and disrespect the host. No Dolphins on there, sir. You do have, though, you got the Giants and the Raiders, so that's 2-4 with two strikes remaining.
Steelers?
The Pittsburgh Steelers, man. You're really hitting the...
I deserve that.
All right. You got one strike remaining with 1, 3, and 5 on this list remaining.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are, that's number 3 on this list, also 4-3 against them as well.
Atlanta, next one.
The Falcons.
I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively in a row.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Danica, I'm gonna go to you first again because I gotta get you in this ball. We gotta get you in the ball game here. Like, we gotta see what's happening. All right, so give me a guess. There's number 1 on this list, and you got number 5 on this list. So you got 2 guesses. You got 2 teams you could get.
2 teams. What about Dallas?
The Dallas Cowboys. Lori, this is your chance now to steal it. Do you have a guess? 1 or 5?
The Bills?
The Buffalo Bills circling those wagons against the No Bills. However, number 5 on this list, the Baltimore Ravens. Say never more. You guys are 12-10 against the Ravens all time. Number 1 all time? The Browns, 12-6 on this list. All right, let's go on to question number. Wait, is that 3 or that's 4? Here we go. Number 4. John, you got 2. So if you get another one, you might close this thing out. I want to know now. Let's go opposite end of this question. Give me top 5 answers on the board. Top 5 teams that you have the worst winning percentage against.
Titans.
The Tennessee Titans.
That's surprising.
Not top 5.
The Patriots?
The Patriots. Black. Yes, they are number 1 on this list. You guys are 1-8 against New England Patriots. All right, Lori, you control. Who else you got?
I have no idea.
The star name of teams.
The Packers?
The Green Bay Packers. Not a bad guess, but not on this list.
Yeah, I don't know. The 49ers?
The 49ers? On the right track in the NFC, but not on this list.
Okay. Yeah. This is the Cardinals?
The whatever they are now, Cardinals. No. All right, Danica, you know what time it is. There's a lot of meat on this bone, too. You got a lot of meat here. You got 2, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, get any one of those. And you take the crown.
Seattle.
The Seattle Seahawks. John, you got a lot of meat as well. You finish this game. If you nail this here, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you got to guess.
Arizona?
That was already guessed, sir.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to be like Wheel of Fortune and or whatever it is.
Let me go with the Rams.
the St. Louis Rams or whatever they are now. The LA Rams, my bad, are on this list. Number 4, 1-5 all time. Number 2, the Commanders. You guys are 1-6. You mentioned that game earlier. That could be one now you're really looking forward to. The Vikings, also, you're 1-6 against as well. Number 5, the Chargers. Both LA teams got your number now, 3-9 all time. Congratulations, John. You are the winner today. And again, Gatorland tickets for you. Congratulations to our winner. Now, this part was a little
Don't do it to the girls. This is a little bit delicate.
As a tradition on our show, the losers of the show, there's a little thing played. And, you know, listen, I would thought about it, and I was like, no, I'm not going to. But listen, we're in 2020. You guys are like, you got to get
2022. Title 9, give it to me.
All right, here we go. The losers of the week get the dumbass.
I'm sorry, ladies.
Of the week, sorry. Dumbass. Thank these.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
It's good day, ma'am, Jean. And sorry, ladies. Let me apologize for Jean. No, seriously, it's only tradition. You're here. You got to induct yourselves into it. We love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to talk about individual players on the Jaguars and some fantasy prospects for this season. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling stressed out because you're not achieving your personal goals in life? You're not alone. And like most, it's time to make a change before the inevitable. It's time to call in the coach. Vision, coaching, and consulting, because every champion has a coach. Our proven coaching methods have been in place for over 20 years and have helped professionals just like you achieve more than ever thought possible. We will partner with you and be there to ensure your goals are met. Our coaches will assist you in formulating a plan to achieve your goals. At Vision Coaching and Consulting, we offer business coaching, life coaching, and consulting services to get you back on track to meet those personal goals. And our virtual appointments make it easy to connect to a coach at any time you need them. Stop by and visit us today online at coachingandleading.org, or you can follow us on any of our social media platforms by our handle, Coach Lead Win. Vision, coaching, and consulting, because every champion has a coach.
Every champion has a coach indeed. All right, we're going to take, we're taking a quick break. We are going to be talking about rankings. My bad. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's start with the golden boy at the QB position. And listen, I have to be clear. Ever since I saw Trevor Lawrence, all I saw him in was in a Dolphin uniform and them golden locks. I mean, he was meant for Miami Beach, where I know you agree with me, no matter what team you like. He was meant for Miami, Trevor Lawrence. But anyway, I'll get off that. Last year, finishing 22nd overall, we know we had some issues with Urban Meyer and the way the offense and, in fact, the team was running. So not too shabby. As I think the doctor alluded to, if there was a year for anyone to miss, it would have been last year. All the struggles that went on and still played pretty decently at times. Like we said, had some trouble with turnovers, but you're a rookie. You're going to expect that. Peyton Manning obviously didn't play very good in his rookie year either. So looking at this season, the additions of Christian Kirk, obviously, with now, obviously, James Robinson will be back at some point. So you will have a nice 1-2 combination in the running game. You do have playmakers. Again, we talked about Evan Engram a minute ago, and we'll be talking about him in a minute. With all that said, I'm going to leave him right around the same area, around the 22-20 mark, because, again, we're not sure what Doug Peterson's bringing yet. We're not sure what this offense is going to look like. Just a lot of uncertainty, so to speak. Nothing, and that's not something you want when you draft a quarterback for your fantasy team. Nick, what do you say, sir?
I have him currently right there at 22. So anyway, I expected more from him last year. Now, hopefully, he'll improve this year under Doug Peterson. Maybe he's got a better handle on how to run a pro offense rather than hang out in a bar when he's not supposed to be. But so I'm thinking he could elevate a little bit. Like last year, he had 12 touchdowns and he had 17 picks. I don't really equate, you know, that was that he didn't have a whole lot of protection last year. He was under duress. He didn't have a whole bunch of weapons on the team. So I'm hoping that he improves this year. He may move up a couple slots, but up until we got to see. We got to see what the team brings. Plus, he lost his major security blanket last year, Etienne. So that would have helped out a lot. And then Robinson was hurt last season.
Yeah, like I said, once, you know, both those guys, they come back healthy, it's a nice 1-2 punch. We'll get to those guys in a minute. My bad, we're jumping ahead. John, let's go to you first on the quarterback spot. You think we got your boy in the right spot?
I think the big thing with Lawrence entering year two is, you know, cutting down on those 1-2, you know, boneheaded throws a game. You know, I think coming out of Clemson, a lot of people, you know, didn't really consider him as, you know, an uber aggressive quarterback who, you know, kind of lives life on the edge at times on the field. But I mean, that's who he is. You know, he has a Brett Favre like approach to the game on the field. You know, he wants to take chances. He wants to push the ball downfield in the tight spots. And I think he learned as a rookie a lot of things he can do. And more importantly, in my opinion, a lot of things he can't do because, you know, just by the nature of college offense, the Clemson scheme, things were a lot easier for him to kind of test at Clemson than they were last year in the NFL. So I think it's about right. I think he's trajecting right, you know, and the word inside TIAA Bank Field is that, you know, people who were with Lawrence last year have seen him take big strides this offseason. So I think the arrow is pointing up for him. I really do.
Yeah, and there really can't be a sophomore slump for someone that didn't do so well in the first season. So I don't see him taking any kind of step back, which is good news for the Jaguars indeed. Lori, what do you think? Do we got him in the right spot for you?
I think he might end up actually a little bit higher. Not much higher, but, you know, I do think that the coaching is going to have a much bigger impact because I think the coaching, you know, obviously – like reflected off of the wide receivers and how bad they did, you know, obviously, you know, Chark wasn't there and, you know, like you guys mentioned, ETN wasn't available, but I still think that Doug is going to centralize the offense, the passing game around, you know, his skill set. And I think that he'll do a lot significantly better. Think you're going to have a better play caller. You're going to have better plays, better schemes, better players around him that help him, kind of take him to the next level. I think Christian Kirk is going to be kind of like his Amari Rodgers from Clemson type of deal. So I think they're gonna pair well together. And I think Engram coming in there, just as long as he doesn't drop any passes, he's going to be used like a Ertz and Goddard, you know, back in Philadelphia the way Doug used them. So yeah, I think he's gonna might be a little bit better than 22, not much, but I still think I see a really high upside.
Yeah, there's certainly some optimism. His ceiling is a little bit higher than last year for sure. Danica, what do you think?
I know Pete Prisco likes to say a good quarterback cures your ills and a bad one exposes them. And I'm about to say last year with Lawrence, it was hard to tell because everything was bad. So you couldn't really get a good feel for what he could and couldn't do. Like John said, he's probably learned what he can and can't do. And I would hope that this season, the coaching around the wide receivers gets better and they could all grow together, because we've seen in the past some of those bad routes with him and Chenault, and it was like constant, and it was like mental errors, like that should be fixable. So hopefully they can all get that, you know, going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, obviously America's team, Miami Dolphins. I know what it's like to have a toxic coach on your team, especially what it does to the quarterback position. So, I mean, all the stuff, like I had mentioned earlier, all the stuff that was swirling around Jacksonville with Urban Meyer being whatever he was going through, his midlife crisis, whatever was going on with that man, you know, all that going, running this, you know, running that team. Trevor Lawrence did a great job as a rookie, I think, with all that, you know, around him and the weapons, you know, that failed pretty much for him, and the line wasn't all that great. Yeah, again, like you mentioned, John, he likes to make plays down the field, but hey, you know what? It's all right to be a risk taker in this league now. You know, take those risks, because they pay off when, you know, obviously we got to have those guys down the field to make the play, but looks like we got that now. All right, so going to the running back position now, James Robinson, just so everyone is aware, was a definite favorite of mine in fantasy drafts. It seemed like he was always a guy that everyone seemed to forget about. You'd get him late in the rounds, and everyone just seems to always forget about James Robinson. But Matt Man gets on the field, he comes to play. I really do respect his game. Last year, 25th, and that was in 14 games. Now, obviously, not having Etienne there to take away those carries, obviously, was going to eat into that this year. Speaking of him, again, didn't play last year. At all. So what I have them both this year, I have James Robinson 34. I have him taken step down only because now I got Travis Etienne at 37. So I got them kind of in the same ballpark. But again, that's because I just don't know what this offense is going to look like and who's going to emerge. I just know what I always go in fantasy, what's proven. Travis Etienne hasn't even touched the field yet. James Robinson is always solid when he's on the field. That's why I got him a little higher than Travis, even though he's projected to start right now. Nick, what you got, bro?
Last year, James Robinson was their leading rusher at 767 yards and 8 scores in 14 games. So that's pretty good. Does anyone know who was their second leading rusher last year?
Trevor Lawrence
with 300 and some odd yards. So right there, you got the void that needs to be filled, and then in steps Travis Etienne. Right now I have Etienne at number 30 because I think he's going to be the eventual starter. And, of course, I'm going off PPR rankings because that's what the majority of the country does. And then I have Robinson at 36 in PPR. Now, the way their style looks like is where Etienne, he's going to take the swing passes and then the outside running lanes, and then Robinson's just going to be the bulldozer up the middle, and then I'm sure he's going to be the 10 and in guy. So you could get them as late rounders, and they could do well for you, especially maybe during the end of the season when you're going for your playoff push and they're getting garbage time. Garbage time equals points, and points doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yeah, if you look at the schedule down the stretch, the Jets, the Texans on that schedule, so might want to take a look at that. All right, Danica, we'll go to you. Do you think is there somebody in this backfield you think may emerge, or do you think we got to kind of right splitting the carries?
Splitting the carries, and then if you draft them in your fantasy, I would stash them on the bench because I'm not all that excited about the line. I mean, Robinson, how many touchdowns did he have called back because of penalties or something that Taylor did?
86.
You know, and I'm thinking he could have better numbers. He could have been bigger, and he gets down there and there's a penalty because of some boneheaded play because the right side of the line is trash. So I just don't have a lot of faith until I see what that line looks like and what running backs can do.
Danica is taking out the trash tonight, the trashy line.
Damn, Danica.
Ugh. Lori, what do you think?
I think that was hilarious. No, I mean, I don't think that I hope that Juwan Taylor is more of a swing tackle. Maybe, you know, Little kind of gets in there. You know, I think with Andrew at left guard, it's going to be pretty good. I don't think the line is as bad as what everybody thinks. But in terms of, James Robinson in ETN and maybe what their numbers will look like in terms of the PPR. I think you guys probably got it right, just because we're not really sure. ETN hasn't really played a snap. Well, he, you know, played a couple snaps last year, but we don't really know what we have, what they have in store. But I think John will know more than anybody about James Robinson and how he's doing health wise. By the looks of it, it seems like he's going to be all right. So I don't know if he's going to sit in the background as much as people think.
All right. Well, then, I mean, look, she queued you up. John, let us know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking to Robinson at the end of mini camp and, you know, just throughout OTAs and, you know, like you guys referenced at the start of the show, you know, he started running in June. When we went out there for mini camp, you could see him on the sidelines at practice, you know, doing sprints. He talks like somebody who expects himself to be available at some point in training camp. I think the start of training camp would obviously be a stretch. But, I mean, every indication from him himself is that he thinks that he'll be ready in training camp. The Jaguars, they haven't set any kind of firm timetable. But I do believe once Robinson is back on the field 100%, that he's, in my opinion, going to be the lead back. And I say this for a couple reasons. One, I think, you know, just the obvious experience he has. You know, Travis Etienne's an extremely talented player, but this is his rookie season, you know, more or less. You know, he even in the times that he played in the preseason last year, you know, he didn't get a lot of in-game action. He needs to get used to the speed of the game, whereas Robinson, you know, he's been the team's most consistent player the last 2 years. Secondly, I think when people think of a three-down running back, I think people get this misconception that that value on third down must be as a receiver. I think when you look at Etienne and Robinson, to me, Robinson's more of the third down back because Etienne's the biggest knock on him coming out of Clemson was his pass pro ability. I think you go out there and you look at him on the field and, I mean, you see it, you know, he has a slender frame, you know, he's a smaller running back. He's more of, you know, that speedster. You know, you don't look at him and think, okay, this is a guy who's going to pick up a 255-pound blitzing middle linebacker. So I think Robinson is just such an advanced pass blocker. I mean, it's a big reason why he started as a rookie, that once he's healthy, I really think it's going to be hard for him to stay off the field. And I really could see them both, you know, kind of being co-starters. But if Robinson's healthy, I don't think there's a scenario where ETN's getting significantly more time than that.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why, like I said, I had Robinson a little higher. And, you know, I like to see at the end, maybe in that Darren Sproles type role. You're talking about, you know, his frame and where he is. That's probably where you're going to see him at in this offense. And, yeah, listen, you tell Mr. Robinson, come on Jason Cooper show, because he loves Mr. Robinson on this show. Draft him every year for sure. All right. Also, let's go on to the receivers again. Christian Kirk, the big acquisition for you guys. A lot of talk about that money, that's for sure. Hey, listen, we don't know if he's going to be worth it or not. Maybe he turns out, you know, he could be one of the best of all time. You never know. But last year, number 28. And now, again, a different offense, obviously a different quarterback, different things set up. So it's a little different. Marvin Jones still, and don't forget about LaVisca Chenault, if I'm glad I said that correctly. He was number 69 in 2021. And Marvin Jones, he was 37 last year. So pretty impressive stats indeed. Basically, where I got this is I got Christian Kirk at 49 because of, again, we talked about the uncertainty. I like Evan Engram a little more than even the receivers is basically what I'm looking at because of the uncertainty of the line. Trevor Lawrence, I'd like to see from what I read, there was going to be a lot of focus on getting the backs out of the backs of the football out of the backfield out of Trevor Lawrence's hands, so that way he's not sacked as much and not creating so many turnovers is what I was reading anyway. So the receivers are just kind of up and down for me. Chenault might be that end up being that gadget player that, you know, Peterson ends up going to make his little funky gadget plays. So we could see an emergence from him. But out of this receiving core, Christian Kirk, with all that money, I got him as the highest one ranked. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I concur with you. I got Kirk. He's the only receiver that I have ranked at number 48. Again, PPR. Chenault, I think this is his prove it or lose it year, because Shark is gone now. He was supposed to be the guy last year, and then him and Lawrence just couldn't connect. The guy that took all the lion's share, no pun intended, of the receivers was Marvin Jones. And Marvin Jones had 832 yards, and he had four scores. So I don't expect him to do that again. But Marvin Jones, he's like sneaky good. Like he'll have like a 2 or 3 week stretch where he'll get you like 15 to 20 points, and then you won't hear from him for like 6 weeks. So he'd be the definite streamer. And then I would draft Kirk at the low rounds. He's on everyone's radar now because of the money, and he had a decent season last year. So he's not going to be the steal that he used to be.
Yeah, no, indeed. All right, Lori, we're going to go to you first on this one. Is there a receiver out of this core that you like, and what do you think? We got it wrong or right?
Half right. I don't know. I think I like Christian Kirk. I think he might be, you know, he might be the guy to get the most, passes thrown to him. I just don't see, like, I think Chenault has to prove it a little bit more before he's even in the conversation, to be honest. But I don't know. Yeah, I would say, you know, Evan Engram would be the second guy just because of Doug Peterson's type of offense. Then maybe Marvin Jones.
Yeah, no, that's a good take indeed. John, what do you think?
I really, when I look at the Jaguars receivers, I think, you know, the two guys who are probably going to see a lot of volume are Marvin Jones and Christian Kirk. I think, you know, when you look at the guys who are expected to finish top four and, you know, pass catching for the Jaguars between Marvin and Zay Jones, Kirk and Evan Engram, Marvin is the only guy Trevor Lawrence has any experience, any, you know, already pre-made chemistry with. I think that will play a role, especially early on. And I think Kirk, you know, just by the nature of the offense and his skill set, you know, he's really the best guy after the catch out of those four. You know, he's the best guy getting open. I think he'll see a lot of targets, especially out of the slot. And I think Evan Engram is, you know, a sneaky guy behind those two. But Zay Jones is somebody who I think, like, he'll have more value to the Jaguars than he will in terms of fantasy or anything like that. But I just think the nature of the Jaguars receiver room and their offensive scheme, I don't think they're one of those teams that has a number one receiver that they're just going to, you know, pepper with targets over and over. I could see 1 week Marvin Jones is the guy, and the next week Christian Kirk's the guy. You know, it really could be dependent on who they're playing, who has the hot hand, stuff like that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Danica, do you have a different take on that? What do you think? We're all on point here.
Yeah, you see Kirk and Jones 1 and 2 interchangeable, and then Zay Jones. I really don't put Chenault very high. I kind of put him borderline. Is he going to be returning punts, kicks, or whatnot? And his whole thing is catching the ball. We know when he catches it, he's hard to bring down, and that's fantastic. But he has to catch it first. So that is my gripe with him catching the ball and, I guess, getting those routes right.
Yes, indeed. All right, we talked about him already, but let's just talk about him one last time. We'll close it out tonight with Evan Engram. Last year, 16th on the New York Giants. You know, we all know the struggles they had on offense, but still 16th at tight end, not too shabby. Now coming to where, you know, again, Trevor Lawrence has some weapons now, and Evan Engram now knows that he's the man in Jacksonville. Hopefully, if he can stay healthy, Evan Engram could have a big season for you guys. I still have him ranked around the same 15th, 16th rank around that. I mean, I don't see anything going above just yet. However, again, let's see how this offense emerges. There is big potential for Evan Engram to be a big sleeper at tight end this year. Nick, what do you say?
No, you guys you're praising Evan Engram. I don't even think it's even worth it because he always has that so much potential, and yet he literally drops the ball every single time in big moments. He drops the ball. So Peterson loves to do the double tight end set. So I think you're going to have Engram on one side, obviously, and then Dan Arnold, the forgotten man who came to Jacksonville mid-season last year, and he was a savior, and now he's like, oh yeah, we got that Dan guy. Yeah. So we can see a lot of that double set there. But if you're looking at Engram as one of your main receivers, especially at a high volume, you really don't have anybody because he just drops everything.
Way to throw the wet blanket on the show as we're closing it out. John, what do you got to say on Evan Engram? What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, I really think that Engram, in my conversations, you know, both with, you know, the Jaguars, their tight end coach, you know, their position coach, other members of the staff, and even Engram himself. So I'm not sure if there's a player with more of a chip on their roster, on their shoulder coming into this offseason, you know, than Evan Engram. I really think that he's determined to put, you know, that kind of Giants tenure behind him. And I think it's important to remember he's the only Jaguars free agent who signed a 1-year deal this offseason. You know, he's the only guy who really, you know, is on a prove it deal to where, you know, if you want to cash in next year, you have to produce this year. So I think if you combine that with Doug Peterson's scheme and the fact that his skill set, in my opinion, you know, Trevor Lawrence, the type of receiver I think we've seen him thrive the most with in the NFL and at Clemson, is kind of a big body guy with a big catch radius just because he loves, you know, testing the waters downfield. I think Engram is the guy on the roster that, you know, really most fits that mold.
He's got a chip on his shoulder because people like Nick are talking trash on him. Laura, what do you think about Evan
Engram? I mean, you had Daniel Jones thrown to him, so maybe that's why, you know?
Agreed.
No, I mean, I think Nick kind of took a little bit what I was going to say, and John too, about the 1-year deal. I mean, that was his idea to do the 1-year deal because he wanted to prove, you know, to, I guess, the coaching staff that, hey, you know, I'm going to do good enough to earn that second deal. And, but Nick, I do like what you said about, Dan Arnold, because yeah, you know, with Doug Peterson, he had Ertz and Goddard. So, you know, both of those guys were able to kind of step up, and produce for Doug Peterson and the Eagles, you know, for a couple seasons. So I do think Dan Arnold's going to kind of sneak in there. I do agree with John. I think Ingram's going to be a bigger piece of the puzzle. And I think he's going to prove it to everybody that, you know, he does deserve that long-term contract.
You guys are hearing from the Jaguars experts. Dan Arnold might be that sleeper tight end this year. All right, Danica, close us out. What do you think of Evan Engram?
Well, he has he's going to get a lot of opportunities because after Dan Arnold, there's a talent drop-off in that tight end room. So it's Engram and Dan Arnold and the other two guys. So, you know, so he has a big shot and he has a chance because who else is the ball going to?
Chris Manhertz.
And Farrell.
Quick to Google, Nick, as always. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you guys coming on here. We're in our home state of Florida. Celebrate the Jaguars. Unfortunately, Nick threw the wet blanket before we headed out. But I want to go around the room, tell everyone where they can subscribe and follow all your great stuff. John, we'll start with you first.
Yeah, no, you can find me at @John_Shipley. I know those are far too many underscores, but there's like a 50-year, you know, veteran sports writer in Minnesota named John Shipley. So until he gives that up, I got to go with that. But you can also find me at Jaguar Report, you know, si.com/NFL/Jaguars. You know, we're boots on the ground. We're in the stadium. You know, we're trying to deliver news, analysis, really reports, you know, everything you can ask for Jaguars wise.
Awesome. Talking to the players. You tell Evan Engram to come on the show. You slap Nick a few times. Lori, we'll go to you. Let everyone know where they could subscribe and follow all your great stuff.
On Twitter, @LauriFitzpatrick. I also write for Touchdown Wire. So it's touchdownwire.usatoday.com. That's where you guys can find me.
Awesome. Make sure to go subscribe, follow all her great stuff. All right, Danica, where can we find your great stuff and subscribe to you?
You can find me at First and Teal on my podcast, but mainly you can find me at MissNika989 on Twitter.
Nice. Miss Nika is ready for this season. All of our guests are ready for some Jaguar football this year. Let's go, Duval. All right, appreciate you guys being in here tonight. We appreciate you guys. We're closing out the AFC South. Next week, we're doing the NFC South, and we'll start with Carolina on Monday. We appreciate you guys, and we are out.
We're on a mission.
Right.
We're on a mission.